2 Corinthians chapter 8, look in one verse. The Bible says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." And be seated this morning. As we look at this verse, the Apostle Paul is writing and that about the churches of Macedonia. If you go back over in that end of the first part of the chapter, you find out in verse 1, you'll find out that he is talking about their giving. He talks about how that they gave in great trial, how the affliction of the abundance of their joy. I thought, what a statement to be made right there, that in affliction they gave in joy. We don't even like to give, let alone give him the affliction of our joy. But he said right here, not only that, but and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. He said, look, he said, they were in great and that affliction, but yet in joy they gave. And he said they were in poverty, in deep poverty, but yet it abounded under riches. And so as the Apostle Paul talks about what all the churches of Macedonia gave and how that they did give and how that God blessed that, he stops in the middle of that and he uses the Lord Jesus Christ as the greatest example in giving. And let me say today that, listen, he is the greatest example in giving. Can I tell you that he gave everything for you and me today? Listen, friend, every time that it seems like in the past few years that every time that I see a nativity scene, especially one that is acted out, I about come unglued, it seems like. Listen, I see that thing and I'm always reminded what Christ has done for me. When I see him and that born in a manger over there, I'm reminded that first of all, he left heaven. Listen, the Bible said right here that he was rich, but yet for your sakes, he became poor. Can I tell you today, friend, that because of you, Christ Jesus the Lord was willing and that to leave heaven. There wasn't nobody forced him. There wasn't nobody begged him. There wasn't nobody twisted his arm and that to leave heaven. To come down here to this mud hole and be born down here and that for me and you. I believe that he freely came. He freely went to Calvary and friend took my place and your place so that we could get saved. Amen. Can I tell you that from the beginning that Christ has always been. What was it he said in John chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We find in verse 14 that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But listen, friend, Christ and that left heaven for me and you. Ain't that something? The Bible said, yet that he was rich, but yet for your sakes, he became poor. Now imagine with me, if you would, for just a little bit, what was in heaven. Can you imagine what Christ left to come down here to save me and you? Can you imagine all the worship and the glory that went on in heaven? Listen, the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 6 that there's some seraphims that fly around up there and said they got six wings. And the Bible said with two, they cover their face with two. They cover their feet with two. They fly and they cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of glory." Hey, can you imagine the glory that was in heaven when Christ Jesus the Lord was there? Can you imagine the worship that was taking place day in and day out? Can you imagine the splendor and the glory that was there? John chapter 17, Christ Jesus the Lord is praying and that back to the Father. And he says, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." He said, "Glorify me as it was when I was with you." Listen, I can't imagine my mind, and that cannot fathom that, what heaven must have been like when Christ Jesus the Lord was there, but yet he left that place for me and you. That is just amazing to me this morning. That for my sake, Christ became poor for me and you today. Had all the riches in the world, but yet he gave it all up. Think about the praise and the worship and the splendor and the glory. Just imagine, we talk about how great heaven is going to be when we get there. But imagine being there and then having to give it up. Imagine about that. Friend, I'm glad when we get there, we don't ever have to give it up. I mean, you know why? You know why we don't have to give it up? Because he did. Boy, I hadn't even seen that. I'd ought to preach a little while. Amen. Listen, we get to go because, friend, he left glory and come down here so that we might be saved. But he was rich. He was rich. And by the way, he still is rich, by the way. I mean, it's by his abundant riches, friend, that we're saved. It's by his abundant riches that we have blessings today. But the Bible said right here that for your sakes, he became poor. He left heaven, though he was rich, yet he became poor. He gave up everything to get me and you. That's a bad deal, wasn't it? Think about it. For you know you. I know me. Christ gave up everything to get the whole world. And what did he get? What did he get out of the whole world? Think about it for just a second. He gave up everything. Gave up heaven. Gave up all the splendor. Gave up glory. And by the way, let me say this. I'm getting ahead of myself. But friend, that day that he was born in that stable, in Bethlehem and laid in that manger, friend, heaven rolled back and announced his coming to this world. Hey, the world was not at attention that night. The world didn't know that he was coming. But boy, I'm going to tell you, heaven stood at attention that day. Heaven watched their beloved Son and at the very Son of God leave everything that was there and had to come down. And I believe that them angels probably stood up there in heaven and looked down and wondered, why would he go down there? Whoo, ain't you glad that he did, though? I'm about to get a little excited now. Boy, I'm telling you, I believe they looked down and them angels scratched their head and wondered, why is he leaving the golden gold? They didn't even know why he was coming. All they were done was give a message to cry out to them shepherds over there that says, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Said, you don't even know what's about to happen. But boy, ain't you glad that he left heaven for me and you. He became poor. You know, the Lord Jesus never did have nothing while he was here. He was born in a manger and laid in a stable because nobody wanted him. Right? Bible said there's no room for him in the inn. Nobody wanted him. In the hustle and bustle of that city of Bethlehem, because they were taking a census over there. Everybody had to go back to be taxed. And think about the hustle and bustle that was taking place. And that in just that one town. And everybody missed Jesus that day. Everybody missed him except a few shepherds. And some wise men from the east that was watching for his star. And they knew he was coming. But you know what happens today in the hustle and bustle of this whole season and this whole time? We miss Christ Jesus the Lord. We miss him. Friend, I get so ashamed of myself that friend, it's not about what we get. It's not about stuff. It's not about getting things. It's not about presents. We ask everybody, are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready for Christmas? Friend, it ought to be, are you ready to meet Christ? That's what it ought to be. Listen, because friend, you're going to meet him one day after a while. Are you ready for him? He left heaven for you. He left the riches and the splendor of God. We can't even imagine his riches. I mean, it's beyond anything that we could fathom. It's anything that, but friend, I mean, if you could just imagine having anything and everything you wanted and beyond that, Christ, I had it all. But yet he left it for me and you. and became poor. The Bible said in Galatians 4, said, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. So what's important about that? I think when He knew He was coming. You say, when did He know that He was coming? Preacher, take your Bible and go to 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to show you something. Most of y'all know this or should know this. But look in 1 Peter chapter 1. You say, when did He know He was coming? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now ain't that a wonderful two verses right there? We're saved because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But look in verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. I believe before God ever spoke this world into existence, before He ever created man and that over and placed him in the garden and sin occurred in there with Satan, before any of that happened, Christ Jesus the Lord knew He was coming. He knew He was going to be born and that of a woman. You say, what's that matter? He knew what Job 14 said, that man that is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He knew that He was coming to a place that was not going to like Him. He knew He was coming to a place, friend, that folk were going to hate Him. He knew He was coming to a place where folk was not going to receive Him. But yet He came anyway. He gave up His riches and became poor. And in yet all that, He came knowing He was going to be hated. He came knowing that He was going to have to go to Calvary. He came knowing that He was going to be ridiculed. He came knowing He was going to be mocked. He came knowing He was going to be made fun of. He came knowing that they were going to beat on Him. He came knowing that He was going to have to die for our sins. But yet He came. He left heaven. I cannot fathom that in my mind at all. Because there ain't enough money in the world to make me want to do that. Let alone He wasn't getting nothing. I mean, listen, he was born in a manger, laid in a stable. Mary and Joseph didn't have much. He was born in humility. He lived in humility. In His ministry, He served in humility. What was it He said in chapter in Luke 9? He said, for the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had not where to lay His head. He served in humility. He went from all the riches that glory had to offer to nothing that this world had. But yet He came for us. Don't you just love that verse right there? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes. It's a little lost boy that needed to get saved. He came for me. Bible said that you through His poverty might be rich. I'll deal with that here in a minute. He was born in humility and lived in humility, but yet He came for man's souls. And it was our sakes that He left. But it was our sakes that He came. I'm preaching on what He done for me. He left heaven for me. But yet He came for me. What do you mean? Well, He came to do something. He just didn't come to live and die. He came and that not only to be man. And by the way, here's something else I don't understand. I don't know how that He was 100% God and He was 100% man, but I know that He was. Amen. He was the God man. I don't understand the Trinity, but I know it's real. Amen. I don't know how eternal life works, but I know it's real. I don't know how grace works, but I know it's real. You wait till you need some grace one day and let God come and hug up on you for a little while. I'm telling you what, and He will too. I'm going to tell y'all something about grace, okay? I've debated on whether I was going to tell this. When I went into the hospital room the other morning when Miss Sue called me, and she called me about 10 to 5 in the morning and said they'd put Frankie back in the hospital. And so I got on up and went down to the hospital and waited for him to get him situated and get him back in the room. And I stood outside there, I don't know, maybe about 15, 20 minutes, and prayed and talked to the Lord for a little while. And make y'all think I ain't too super spiritual. I was looking at my phone too at the same time. Okay. But I walked in that room and I walked over to the bed, and before I could ever really get anything out, he looked up at me and he said, "Well, it won't be long now." Now, I looked at Dad and I looked in his face, and I seen grace more than I had ever seen. And I thought to myself, my soul, when it comes time for me to leave out of here, boy, I hope grace is that evident. Yes. Now, I'm not putting him in the grave by no means, but I'm going to tell you, when you receive news like he received, and then have grace like that, friend, that's what he come for. See, he come to save people like us, so that when it does come time to leave out of here, there will be grace. Came for me. I'm glad I got saved one day. I'm glad he not only came for me, but I'm glad he came to me. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm glad that he came to where I was, because there was no way to get to him. There wasn't no way that me or you, neither one, could get to God. Listen, that's why Christ came at that, to reconcile us. According to the book of Romans over there, he reconciled us and that to the Father, because what Adam done, Christ undone it. Friend, he can save you if you'll come to him today. But he came to save me. Luke 19 and 10 said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Bible said, "Yet for your sakes." It's you. Can I tell you that Christ Jesus the Lord is all about you? He is. He's all about you. That's what he came for, was you. He came for people. He came and proved who he was. There's just things I don't understand in his ministry, why he done what he done, why he would leave glory, why he would love sinners like he loved sinners. You ever looked at his life, ever read his life and how much he loved sinners? He loved sinners, friend. He went to where they were. Now, he didn't act like they did. He didn't get in sin to be with them, but he did go where they were. Let me park here for just a second. If we're going to win anybody, we're going to have to go where they're at. You hear me? I'm going to say it again. They're not coming in here. And if we're going to win anybody to Christ, you're going to have to go where they're at. You're going to have to go to them, because they sure ain't knocking the door down to get in here. And listen, I'll be honest with you, when somebody in that realizes what Christ can do for them, boy, it'll change their whole world, won't it? But Jesus came for us. Do you know why? As I looked at this, and I talked about verse 2 a few minutes ago, how that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. He said, in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. I read that and I read it over and over and over again. And I couldn't get away from it to verse 9, where it talks about how that he came. You know what Hebrews chapter 12 says? It says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." You realize that he not only came, and that knowing that he was going to have to die for us. He not only came, and that to suffer through everything that he was going to have to suffer through, but he counted it joy to get to do that. I don't understand that. I guess this message could be entitled, "I Don't Understand That." But just because you don't understand something don't mean that it ain't real. And don't mean that it ain't true. You know, if you go over to Isaiah chapter 53, let's go over there real quick. Let's go look at Isaiah 53. It sort of tells us what don't sort of tell us. It does tell us exactly what Christ suffered through. Isaiah 53. Who have believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. You realize that when he came, nobody wanted him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our face from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Now notice that in those two verses it's all about him. He was wounded. He was bruised. The chastisement of our peace was upon who? Him. And with his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now that's why he went to Calvary. It was at Calvary where he took our sin. He came and that, listen, not only to be poor, he came and that not only given up heaven, but friend, he came and that knowing he was going to have to go to Calvary. But it was more than just going to die. See, it was more than just a good man and that going to die at Calvary. It was more than just an innocent man going to die at Calvary. When he got to Calvary, friend, our sins was laid on him. But you're talking about a fella that don't understand why he came knowing that he was going to have to do that. He came in that leaving heaven and that to come down here to be rejected, to be despised, but yet they're going to have to go to suffer and die. And on top of all that, he was paying my sin and your sin. I don't understand that. But yet he done it. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb. So he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made it, listen, and I'll be honest with you, he did come for Israel, by the way. The Bible said in John chapter 1, verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came in that to die for them just as much as he came to die for us. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Watch verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to do that. You know, God looked down from heaven. And you know, when he looked down from heaven and he seen him bearing our sin, I honestly believe that the Lord looked away. I do. I believe that with all my heart because the Bible said that he reached over and turned the light switch off and it become dark upon the whole face of the earth. And Christ Jesus cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I believe God the Father, for one instant in glory, turned away from this earth. And he did not look upon his Son. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasures of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. God looked back down from heaven and seen Christ Jesus the Lord. And he said, I'm satisfied with what he done. Can I tell you that God the Father was satisfied with Christ in his birth. God the Father was satisfied with Christ in his death. And God the Father was satisfied with Christ and him bearing our sins to Calvary. He was satisfied with him. And the Bible said right here, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And boy, did he ever. Therefore will I divide a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That's exactly what Christ had done. And still doing it today. But he came to go to Calvary. But he came so that he could die for us. Because sin brings death, don't it? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5 and 12? Wherefore, as by one man sin into the world, and death by sin, and so death came upon all men, for all have sinned. So we know that death, if you go back and look, you'll find that death reigned upon this earth, and death still reigns upon this earth. So they sent him to Calvary, and there he shed his blood. He came and shed his blood. But it was at Calvary that he died. And it was at Calvary that Joseph of Arimathea went and got his body. And Nicodemus with him tells us in another passage over there that those two men took him down and wrapped him up and put him over there in Joseph of Arimathea's new tomb. It's been hewed out and every man laid there. We call it a barred tomb because it wasn't permanent, you see. But he came not only so that he could die and forgive men of their sins, but he came so that he might give us life. What does John tell us over here? John chapter 1 tells us something about John the Baptist as he is preaching about the one that's going to come. What does it tell us about him? It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life. Life. You know, little John tells us over there, he said, this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You know what? He came so that he could not only die, but he came so he could live again. I think about John the Revelator over there. He heard that voice come down from heaven. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and of hell. You know why I could look down into Frankie's face and see grace the other day? Because Jesus has the keys of death and of hell. You know why when it gets time for us to leave and we'll have grace if you're saved? Because Jesus has the keys of death and of hell. As one preacher said, the devil don't even have the keys to his own house anymore. But it was with great power that he rose again. I really believe that Satan probably did figure that he had him in that grave. They had nobody ever done what Christ Jesus the Lord was about to do. Oh yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, Elijah raised that boy over there, and Elisha raised that Shunammite woman's boy and that up off that bed, and Christ Jesus the Lord had raised Jairus' daughter and that woman of Nain's son in the middle of her funeral, in the middle of his funeral. He reached up and touched the casket, and the boy jumped out. And listen, even after Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, he raised him from the dead, but nobody had ever done what Christ was fixing to do. If you look in John chapter 10, he said this over here about him raising again. He said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. The commandment have I received of my Father." Do you know we do not have that power? Do you know that in the tribulation period, that there's a 5-month period when men is going to seek death and won't even be able to find it? We think we have the power of death. We don't have the power of death. I mean, God can just reach back and man don't have to die. Do you know that? He said, "I have power to lay it down." You know, the Bible said that he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He knew exactly what he was doing when he done it. He was always in control from the very first time that he was born into this world. He was in control. And he said, "I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." Listen, after he spent 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, he said, "All right, it's time for me to go back." And he comes back, he gets back in that body, and out of the tomb he comes. And because of that, mean you have eternal life. Listen, not only do we have forgiveness of sins because he went to Calvary, but we have eternal life because he's alive. And that life is, according to little John, 1 John chapter 5. Listen, that life is in him. As long as he's alive, I'm alive. Bible said in Romans 4, he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He went to Calvary and died for our sins, but he was raised again so that we could be justified. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might." So he gave himself, he came, he gave up heaven and gave up the riches of heaven to come down here and give himself for us so that me and you could be rich. We're richer than what we ever could imagine. Now let me ask you a question. Out of everything that Christ Jesus the Lord gave, what have we gave for him? He gave it all. Gave up everything. Gave up heaven. Gave up the splendor of glory. Gave up the worship. Gave up the fellowship with the Father. Gave up everything, knowing what he was coming down here to suffer through and go through. And he died for me and you and rose again for me and you so that we could be rich and we could have the riches of his grace and the riches of his treasures and all those things. But yet, what have we gave for him? Have you gave your life to him? Have you trusted him to be your Savior? Are you saved? You need to know that. If you've never been saved, I want you to know that Christ Jesus the Lord came and died for you so that you could be saved. But then what are we doing for him? See, it's good to preach on what he done for us, but what are we doing for him? You say, he wants us to serve him. Don't you think he's worthy to be served today? Don't you think that he's worthy in that to be sold out to? Don't you think that we ought to just give him everything that we've got? I mean, our life, our home, our family, our pocketbook, everything, our church, everything that there is. Don't you think that he ought to have it? He gave all for us. And you know, he ain't asking us to die for him. He's just asking us to live for him. What Jesus done for us. Ain't it amazing today? What Jesus, the man that the world hates. And they do hate him, by the way. They hated him while he was here. They hate him now. And if you'll serve him, they'll hate you too. He said, if they've done this thing in a green tree, he said, imagine what they'll do in a dry. He said, if they hated me, he said, if they hate you, if the world hates you, he said, know that it hated me first. What are we doing for him? He came for lost sinners. Are we trying to win folk? He came so that folk could have grace and have peace and joy in their heart. What are we doing for him? Let's bow our heads today. I tell you, if Jeff gives some music, our son, if I asked you, are you doing all you could? Every one of us have to get up here on the altar. Because I can guarantee you that none of us doing all that we can. But I want you to dwell on for just a second. Be real still and be real quiet. But dwell on what Jesus gave up for you. Dwell on him having to leave glory and come down here. Think about all the splendor and all the worship and the riches. And then on top of that, he was willing to come and die for you and die for me. What are we doing for him? What are we spending for him? Paul at one point talks about being spent and wanting to be spent for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you need to come and pray, I want you to come. If you've never been saved, I want you to come and get saved today. Give your heart and your life to Christ. And friend, he'll save you today, make you a fit subject for heaven.